The following show was originally broadcast on Thursday at 6 p.m. Greg Gussie does the first in a series shows looking at the arts in the Valley.
Doing my first of what I hope is a weekly show every Thursday. And so what are we doing? What are we up to? Well, this is going to be an eclectic show about art, all kinds of art, poetry, painting. Painting is always fun to do on the radio. A little bit about radio is art, which is something you don't hear about too often. It is an art form. It's an interesting art form. We'll discuss that later. And one of the things that we hope to accomplish here is have an ongoing thing about what's happening in our town and over the weekend, or the area in general. That can't even be Wasilla or Anchorage, but we hope mostly here. So to bring that part on, we have Selena Ortega from the Palmer Museum of History and Art, and she's going to bring us up to date on our second Saturday, which is this Saturday. Selena, tell us.
Thanks for having me, Greg. I'm kind of excited. You get your own show and everything. You really are important.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's see. So second Saturday, we're trying something a little bit different this year with all of the art walks. We are making it kind of our goal to work with at least one nonprofit each month. And the nonprofit that we're specifically working with on Saturday is Matsunau, a women's organization. And they're going to help us celebrate Women's History Month by having several actresses at all of our art walk stops portraying famous women in history. And it's going to be pretty exciting. We're pretty stoked about it.
Are these any of the women that I know?
Yes. Frida Kahlo.
Oh, my heart just...
Barbara Hunt will be Frida Kahlo. We're pretty excited.
Excellent.
Elizabeth Cady Stanton is another one. There's actually a whole list. It's available on the Palmer Visitor Center and the Palmer Museum Facebook and also the Palmer Museum website. So people can definitely take a look. We have maps already available. Almost all of our participating businesses in downtown, there's nine of us, have maps. So you can stop by places like Cover-Ups, Fireside Books, Shane Lamb Gallery, Healing Path Therapeutic Massage, even Arcos Brewery. And, of course, we always have maps at the museum.
Excellent. Can you tell us anything in particular that's super exciting? Like, what are you doing at the museum? I know you have
so
a show
glad,
up.
Yes. We do. We're having an artist reception for Beyond the Classroom. It's our exhibit for March. It's 25 artworks from various high school student artists, grades 9 through 12, from eight participating Valley high schools. And they're comprised of all different types of media. We got Felicia Desimini from the Matsu College Art Department, the Palmer Arts Council, the Valley Fine Arts Association, the Valley Arts Alliance, and ourselves. And we're going to be going through the student artwork actually this evening. Each organization's going to select an artist for outstanding achievement to recognize. And then as a collective, we will be giving 50% of a vote to who will have the best in show. And actually, all the listeners, all you guys out there, your vote will consist of the other 50%. So from today all the way through the end of Saturday, we're asking people to come on in, look at the collection, come see what our young artists in the Valley are doing, and place your vote for your favorite artwork. We're very proud of it, and we're really excited that we got so much support for this exhibit. We even got Blaine's Art Supply in Anchorage. They donated sketchbooks, graded pencils, and erasers to give to all of our student artists.
Oh, super. Well, I have seen the works.
You have.
And they're some of them are quite exceptional. They're well worth going down and seeing what
Absolutely.
The museum has.
Yeah, and that's what we're hosting. I do know Healing Path Therapeutic Massage. They'll be hosting Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Alaska. And they're going to kind of have an information table talking about the activities they have planned. And they're going to have a bake sale. They're trying to raise funds for their big program they're hosting next month. Let's see. Shane Lamb Gallery will have Sandra Cook. As you know, Sandra's a fiber artist and a ceramicist. Let's see. What else? Magpie Clothing Exchange. That's kind of our newest stop. They're a little off the beaten track, not necessarily downtown Palmer, but they're pretty darn close, just off the corner of Hemmer and Palmer-Wasilla. They're actually going to have an exhibit of Palmer High School photography students, which is kind of up your alley, Greg.
Yeah. No one tells me about these things.
So if you have time, you should definitely go see what they have to offer. Plus, the owner of Magpie, she's fabulous. She's super friendly, and she knows a lot about the Valley. So.
Well, Arcos isn't exactly on the beaten path.
They aren't, but a lot of people, I don't know, for some reason, people know where the brewery is in this town.
Well, it's a good brewery.
It
That's
is.
What makes the difference.
And
yeah.
Arcos is actually hosting their monthly Beer Meets Canvas. Mm-hmm. June is actually has a background in art education, and she has all these supplies for people to come out. You can do your own artwork. She's going to use Women's History Month also as a form of inspiration, and she'll have some of her own artwork up on display for people to take a look at.
Excellent. So it should be a nice walk around town again.
It is. It may be cold, but we've got this beautiful sun out. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
you need to come out.
This is pretty gorgeous.
Yeah, it's pretty gorgeous.
Can't beat it. Well, folks, that is a little bit of a rundown of what's going on here in Palmer this weekend. I'm pretty excited. I'm going to go out there. Definitely go see the artwork by the young folks over there at the museum. As I said, some pieces are really exceptional and very high in my book. So
that's nice. Yeah. I think it's also really important for people to know some of the students that are participating, some of them are from homeschool programs that don't even have art departments. So a lot of their inspiration or their skill comes from either them just doing self-study or picking up things here and there. So I think it's really important to see just how much these young people have learned to find a way to express themselves. And like you said, some of them really are quite exceptional.
So today's Thursday, so you have plenty of time to schedule your Saturday in Palmer. Okay, well, I'm going to let you go because we've got folks lined up at the door.
Oh, I know. Anytime you're hosting something, everyone's going to line up.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you, Selena. Let's see. You want to give your little blurb on, come on in. Come on in. next thing we're going to talk about here is Who Let the Girls Out, which is somewhat a community celebration and has some art too of a sort. You want to go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us what you know.
Hi, I'm Becky Oviatt. And I run Forget-Me-Not Fibers, which is inside of Non-Essentials. And Who Let the Girls Out is starting April 24th and 25th. And it's basically a celebration of spring.
Okay. And what can we expect at this year's Who Let the Girls Out? Previous years, we've had some pretty exciting stuff, both from... vendors, farmers, all kinds of good things. And, of course, what happens in the shops around town. So,
ooh, we've got some pretty exciting things planned this year. Being that it's a Who Let the Girls Out, it's women only. Sorry, guys. But we've got this year a selfie contest. Everybody's got to run around town and take a selfie of themselves in front of certain areas of the merchants. And then they've got to turn in these selfies, and then whoever turns in enough selfies, I guess, wins the contest.
Oh, super. Well, it sounds like kind of fun. To run around in front of everybody's business, take your picture, prove you were there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I guess they're going to have some, you know, cutouts and all these kind of cool things where people can take their selfies. Ought to be great for the teenagers.
Okay, and are we to expect any fiber bombing or any of that?
I'm not planning any yarn bombing this year.
Oh, okay.
So, and of course, we're going to have the usual array of music and there's going to be some outdoor music on the town square. We're also going to be having lots and lots of classes. Now, I cannot tell you the amount of classes that we're going to be having because there are so many classes at so many of the businesses.
Well, okay, first of all, this is going to be happening April 24th?
24th is on Friday, and that's going to be the 5K run. And after that, of course, is the usual gather down at Palmer Bar and Klondike Mike's and probably over at the Palmer Ale House, and everybody will have something to eat and drink. And then Saturday, the 25th, they're starting probably at about 9 o'clock. We're going to have classes and just, you know, start at one end of Palmer and wander to the other end. And I imagine that people will be able to wander as far as Magpies. And I know that they're going to be able to wander over to Chickadees. And there's also going to be a horse-drawn carriage so that they won't have to wander if they don't want to. And you can also wander down as far as Mad Matters, because you're going to not only be able to paint your town, you're going to be able to paint your shoes.
Oh, yes. Pam does some really neat shoe painting exercises, something that if you've never painted your Birkenstocks before, it's now's time. Great. Well, once again, you folks have plenty of time to get your calendars in order. Where will people be able to find the list of what's going on?
As usual, the wonderful Make a Scene. The details will be in this month's Make a Scene and April's Make a Scene.
Excellent. Well, I think that should do that for now. Let's put on a tune, and then we'll move on into Rose Hendrickson. Should be exciting.
Central Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders. 3 conductors, 25 sacks of mail. All along the southbound Odyssey, the train pulls out at Kankakee and rolls along past houses, farms, and fields. Passing trains that have no name, and freight yards full of old black men, and the graveyards of the rusted automobiles. Good morning, America, how are you? Said, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Dealing card games with the old man in the club cars. Penny a point, ain't no one keeping score. Pass the paper bag that holds the bottle. And the sons of Pullman porters and the sons of engineers write their father's magic carpets made of steel. And mothers with their babes asleep are rocking to the gentle beat, and the rhythm of the rails is all they feel.
Good morning. Don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
changing cars in Memphis, Tennessee. Halfway home, and we'll be there by morning. Through the Mississippi darkness, rolling down to the sea. But all the towns and people seem to fade into a bad dream. And the steel rail still ain't heard the news. The conductor sings his songs again. The passengers will please refrain. This train got to disappear in railroad blues.
Thanks, Mike. Well, we're very fortunate this evening on our first show to have Rose Hendrickson with us, one of our local artists of some renown, has won several awards, especially at State Fair for her work, which is very anthropomorphic. In fact, her Madonna series, I think, is... pretty neat, and everyone should view it if you have any shows coming up and can show it. But what we mostly want to talk about is the resurgence, and it is resurging, of figurative painting and replacing the more modernistic forms. And Rose is, of course, a proponent of figurative work, and in fact, I believe, aren't you planning on going to a seminar on portrait painting here in the near future?
Well, I'm hoping to go to a conference in Atlanta, Georgia, that is specifically for portraiture and figurative artists. And it's, should be artists there from all over the world, artists of a great deal of stature, people who paint kings, princes, and dignitaries, and popes. So it should be really interesting for a small-town girl like me to see the wider world of figurative artists. I'm looking forward to that possibility if I can get myself there. I have a couple of little hitches in the get-along.
Well, we'll work on those later. Now, perhaps you could describe what figurative painting and drawing is to our audience who has to see these things through their ears.
Well, I think that folks can probably pretty well imagine that a figurative drawing is a drawing of the figure, and we're specifically referring to the human figure. So human beings, male, female, old, young, all sizes, shapes, and colors would be the subjects. Portraiture is more specifically meant to be a likeness of the subject, but figuratives in general don't have to have a likeness to the model or to any particular human being, or even specifically to accurate anatomical structures.
Well, certainly we can look at Picasso and even Cezanne to a degree as producing anthropomorphic figures that bear little resemblance to what we picture of human form to be. So I guess, and well, go on further. It's a little bit more on this definition because, you know, I'm...
Where shall I go? Well, I'll tell you why I like to do portraits and figuratives. And I like to do other things, too. I mean, it isn't like I won't draw or paint anything that isn't a human being. I love doing ravens, and I've recently done a series of those. It's been quite popular. Landscapes, I mean, look around. We have some of the most beautiful scenery in the entire world right here. Outside any window. So I've done a few things to reflect that too. But boy, there are a ton of landscape artists in Alaska. There's one on every street corner. Figurative artists, though, are a little less common, and the idea of the curve of the face, the turn of the pinky finger, the way the light shines through the cornea of an eye, they're fascinating. They're beautiful, and my attention was first grabbed by. It's pretty typical for figurative artists. They fell in love with classic works. Now, I didn't grow up near museums or great centers of art. I grew up here in Alaska. But I did have books, lots and lots of books, and the books had pictures, and I looked at the pictures. So I saw the works of Rembrandt and Da Vinci and Rubens and Botticelli. These were artists who illustrated the books that I read, and then there were just encyclopedias of art, once I started looking at those things. So as soon as I could pick up a pencil or a crayon, I started trying to draw the princesses that peopled the fairy tales that I read. Arthur Rackhaman was one of my favorite illustrators, and he could draw fairies and creatures of the woodlands like no one else you've ever seen, but all figuratives, anthropomorphic, as you say. So I saw a lot of different forms and figures, and I just tried to copy them. I tried to copy everything from Arthur Rackham's long, thin, pointy-eared, red-nosed autumnal fairies to Botticelli's Venus Rising from the Waters, following the folds of fabric, the twining tendrils of hair. It just was the most interesting thing to draw.
Well, that makes sense to me. Now, what I'm not exactly sure of is, why is there a resurgence of figurative work? Why is that, aside from I have certain definitions I use, but I won't throw those on people until after we hear from you.
Well, I'm sure I can't answer that greater question. I think it's pretty cool, though, because a figurative artist is definitely going to benefit. I know that many people in my general age group who were interested in figurative art were starved for education. There was about 50 years where it was unfashionable to paint the human form, definitely in any representational manner. I mean, we had our Picassos and our Chagalls, and, who are doing really wild, far out, super creative stuff with figurative works. But the what they call classic, realism figurative works is really kind of old fashioned and out of favor. And so it was hard to find instruction in that. So those of us who really are interested in that subject are excited to find a resurgence of education. A little thing I wanted to mention, there's a school that was started in Philadelphia in 1999. It's called Studio Incominati. And it was started by a portrait artist named Nelson Shanks. And this is just a real quick little thing about this. I'm not sure why figuratives are coming back so large, but there was a mention made in an article I read about Nelson Shanks and one of his recent works that just blew me away. And I think it's more of a subject for conversation and thought than anything else that I've noticed for a long time. And the subject, Nelson Shanks recently painted a portrait of President Clinton. And apparently he's a very conservative individual, and his portrait depicted something in his political leanings. And the commentary in the article in The Guardian that I read about it was that, well, of course this would be a very conservative individual because his style of painting is realistic and figuratives. That was the first time in my entire life that I'd ever heard any artist, definitely figurative artist, referred to as super conservative, or the idea of art or painting a figurative as being a really conservative, and I'm going to say conservative in the religious kind of boundaried way, when you think of conservatism being about boundaries rather than freedom. And I've never thought of any kind of art being about boundaries. I've only thought about it being about freedom and freedom of expression. So that, you could have knocked me over with a feather when I read that.
Well, that's a pretty deep subject, especially when put that way. Yeah, it's, of course, you know, where I went to school, we were trained that, you know, all art was a form of political communication, and so this is just reinforcing that to a degree. And, of course, I've stated many times, mostly in written articles, how I view that fine art has to have something anthropomorphic about it to be fine art. It's how we express our emotions and see our emotions in someone else's work. We're able to relate to it because on that plane, because of the, it's a human form. I don't know if you agree with my feelings on that, but I think that is part of why we see this resurgence too in figurative art, because it's landscapes and, you know, animal pictures and flowers are certainly beautiful and can be a lot of fun, but they can't communicate like a portrait does or an anthropomorphic form. At least that's my opinion, and I'm sticking with it. So what do you think on that subject?
Of your opinion?
Of my opinion, yeah. What do you think of my opinion?
I suppose it's as valid as anybody else's opinion on the subject of art. I have a very broad mind, and I don't really think that there's... I think rules are made to be broken in the world of art.
That's true. And let's hope more are broken. So have you got... Now, did I ask you already, do you have a show coming up at...
The earliest show that I have scheduled will be the Garden and Art Fair, and I'm excited about that. I'm going to have some of my pieces. I'm going to have some of my daughter's work represented there, and I have a sister who will be having some beautiful work represented there as well.
Excellent. The whole, well, not the whole family, because it's a very large family, but a substantive portion. Super. Well, if we've exhausted that subject, do you want to play another tune, and we'll let Rose get on to her appointments at the Palmer Museum of History and Art.
And this is KVRF Sutton and K208BC Palmer Radio, Free Palmer, broadcasting on 89.5 FM, Big Cabbage Radio. And Greg is back.
Hello. So hopefully over the course of the years to come, this 30-state program will feature lots of folks like Rose, or I'm hoping maybe we can get Jason Overby in, or maybe even Josh Freifogel. Who knows? We can get the gangs in here for interviews, for music, for poetry. I'll even let Nan Potts come in and read a poem. Okay, that's scary. Well, maybe I won't. So we'll move into the poetry section now, and since the only person I have here is me, I will read a poem that I called Where's Orlovsky? Now, I'll give a little background to this. Orlovsky was the lover of Allen Ginsberg for many, many years, at the early days in the 50s. Is very much part of the Allen Ginsberg's poem Howl. And Orlovsky, even though he's a working-class man, immigrant from, I believe, Russia, maybe Poland, I think it was Russia, he was quite a poet in his own right. So here's my poem, Where's Orlovsky? My heroes faded in icy mountain streams of passion, turned turbid rivers unrecognizable in the flotsam. Only now do I recall a falling star when I read of them passing into a night tide on the beach of solitude. I expected them to howl. I wanted them to howl and rejoice my own icy youth instead. It seems to me they're lined up like an Albanian genocide, with forlorn, intractable faces that do not fight back, even though their fate is sealed to the machine gun in the mass grave of time. All is white and black, somewhere signs of cardboard and twine. One says, accusingly, je cherche l'heure du temps, another pitifully, priez pour lui. A bold one reads, et la verse rongère de peu comme on remonte. French is the language of love and death intertwined, morbidity and mortality, nearly clinical for dreaming, Paris 57, to paint the remainder of the ship will land on broken shoals of canvas or paper, or now dank earth. So that's my little tale of Orlovsky. There's a lot of, well, you should read some of his works, and of course, it never hurts anyone to get their mind around Allen Ginsberg's Howl, such a description of the time and place that he wandered the streets of New York with Orlovsky. So I think that's it for Poetry Hour. Maybe I'll throw one more tune in there. Yeah, why not? Because I can do it. It's my own show. So this poem is called Three Live Rounds. And again, in annotation, this is a story about a place near the gold mines of California, and a very dry and desolate area up on the road, the stage road to Julian, California, which is now known for apples, but in those days, it was known for gold mining. So, three live rounds. Live oak rustles where water hasn't flowed. Mud ruts in the track have become smooth. Dust that swirls in the hot wind, muscular and manly and unforgiving, so dry that my dead horse has no odor as it desiccates and mummifies not far from where I cower behind this tree. There are two empty shells and three live rounds in my dragoon. I figure two for what I have to do and one for me, should I fail at my evil endeavor. Brought on by my circumstances and a litany of abuses, the stars have conspired against me above where I cower behind this tree. Yet I was an honest man, born as honest, I suppose, as any man, and lived righteous as best I can, but today I am a highwayman, as cowardly a man as a man can be from where I cower behind this tree. Do you suppose at the end of this hellish wait, when the Julian stage does come, and I stand and let the air, hot air, fill my lungs and present myself to that shotgun, will I win and die? or lose and walk free? Will my fate be to be buried as I cowered beneath this tree? Do all men take on this continence when defaced, despaired of sustenance? Or is it like the letter the jilted lover receives and should properly be answered by eating lead and letting life be or hanging dead in this tree? And I think that's enough for the poetry hour. It's 10 minutes, but sure, go ahead. Play another tune for the folks. This is an eclectic grouping of tunes. Not a single one of them was the tune I planned to play, but we're going to rectify that next week. Go for it. So we're back again, and I do want to mention that this is Radio Free Palmer, and that we need you folks to become members to join this wonderful experiment in communication, and we need you to come on the show so that I'm not doing all these things like. Now we're about to enter into the music section of the show. And, of course, I don't have anyone here but me to play, so I'm going to subject you to a couple of tunes myself. In fact, the first one is going to be What a Wonderful World. Let's see if we can pull it off. I see trees a-green,
red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than we'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Well, that's the best I could do with that. I hope it came out all right for you folks out there. I'm not much of a singer or much of anything. So hopefully in the future, we're going to have some real musicians on. As I said, I can think of, maybe we could get Forrest Wilson to show up. Wouldn't that be wonderful? How about it, Forrest? Are you listening? Robert Howard up the street, Jim Lasseter, there's hundreds of musicians around, and this little 15-minute segment would be just perfect to fill with their them and not me. Much the same with the poetry. There's lots of wonderful poets around, Gretchen Diemer, of course, David Cheesham. We're no shortage, even Nan Potts. So that always gives me a smile. I think that's probably enough embarrassing myself singing for that part. So let's go on to the next piece of music, and then we'll do something on the way out.
We kept a rope hidden under the brush on the hillside, sneaking in at dusk. We were going for a wild ride. Hitchhiker, tangled tail, swatting at the deer flies. Give me a leg up, Celia, I'm sitting so high. Honeysuckle, summer air, wrap your hands in golden hair. Arms long as sleek neck, nothing like a back so bare. Click your tongue, squeeze the legs, heels dig in, nostrils flare. Galloping up that hill, rope for reins, we don't care. See you later, Mom, I'm going to shed. See you later, Mom, I'm going to shed. Climb on up, find a perch on that worn out wooden post and rail. Sitting there for hours watching daisies. Well, Celia says, let's jump that fence. I smile one time. What the hell? It's dark enough. We won't get caught. Just don't tell. Thank you.
hit the trees, I'm on the ground. Pull off a rail, crickets chirp, no hint of breeze. Celia's up, a hoof stomps loud, announcing this bold decree. Suddenly, bright headlights glare, the moment's free. We're hiding in the bushes, not breathing, but we're very much alive. Shadow's gone back to grazing as the car pulls out the drive. We're giggling at the sky.
Well, we're back again, and let's see, a couple of things that slid on by. We forgot to mention that Emma Hill will be at the Vagabond Blues Saturday evening, part of the whole Saturday circle of things that go on, and well worth seeing. And I'm sure there's hundreds of other things that we haven't gotten to. Hopefully next week, maybe we'll have Carmen Summerfield might come in. She, as you might know, she's the president of the Valley Arts Alliance and produces many wonderful things. They're having their version of what do they? I can't. It's a version of Prairie Home Companion, but I don't know what for it's. Yeah, Polar Home Companion or something. I don't know what they call it. But it'll be over in Big Lake again on Saturday. And all their shows that they've had in the past have just been wonderful, well worth worth seeing. In fact, last week was their big wearable arts at the Palmer Depot. And I attended that. Well worth, again, seeing. And a wonderful job was done by that crew. It's you know, Carmen and again Nan Potts and Pat Garley, all produce something well worth your while. So we're next week. As I said, I hope that I have. No, I don't hope. I'm planning on having a more dynamic show than this one, and we will have. For the conversation part, we'll be at call-in, probably from 6 to 6:30. And the number here at the studio is 745-8900. And I said we'll be taking calls next week. And I think we've pretty well established a good layout for this this show, and I'm hoping, as I said, you guys come help me fill it out. Let's see, I probably have a couple more minutes. What to subject you guys to? Now that you've already had I'll Fly Away, that was an unusual version, wasn't it? Oh, and here, I'll blow my own horn. Tomorrow at the Pioneer Home, Julie and myself and my grandson Tobin, who formed the band called Time Warp, will be playing at the Pioneer Home about 1:30, I believe. Should be a lot of fun, the three of us. And then at Primrose on Sunday afternoon, the entire Feral Cats will be playing. And that's always fun. Good Irish music and songs, and well worth dropping in. And you know, you can come in and say hi to those folks over there. They're wonderful people, And yeah, we'll look forward to seeing you. And on that, I think I'll say good night. And thanks, Mike, for Mike the engineer tonight. And here we go. Woo! Woo!